They're found mostly in coastal habitats, and they're found in upland habitats as well. And they would have been found in between, but changes in agriculture over, you know, decades has meant, you know, more pesticides, more intensification. So they're really found in specialist habitats, you know, like, well, like nature reserves, like our one at Slieve na Cloy.
Yeah, tell us about Slieve na Cloy.
Well, Slieve na Cloy is probably one of the best nature reserves in Northern Ireland. On a day like today, when you look out the window and you go up into the Belfast Hills, you wonder, can you see the Belfast Hills? But actually, if you go up to Slieve na Cloy on a sunny day and peak summer season, you're a wee bit past it now. But Slieve na Cloy, I mean, from my point of view, even as somebody who should be used to these things, Slieve na Cloy is the best place I've ever seen for orchids in my life. Tens upon tens of thousands of orchids are out there at peak season. And that's just the orchids. The place is, it's one of the best sites in Northern Ireland for butterflies. It's one of the best sites in Northern Ireland for moths. It's got an awful lot going for it.
And of all the, you know, I'm up and walking back and forward on Divis and Black Mountain and whatever, you know, the National Trust walkways there. Where exactly is Slieve na Cloy from all of that?
Well, you're not too far away. If you're heading up towards Divis, if you're heading up sort of past Hannistown and you turn off for Divis, if you keep going round towards Zundrod and you turn off, you're looking for the Ballycollin Road or the Flowbog Road, which is... If you'll find it on Google Maps, it's not that hard to find it. You can find it on our website as well. It's got the location there. But Flowbog Road is the main entrance. And you'll see a sign there, and there's a couple of places to park. But it's definitely a hidden gem, for sure.
Would you be like kicking a stone and seeing these lizards or not?
Oh, you would have to have a look for them. I mean, they like coming out on sunny days. So what you need to do is go look in sort of areas of bare ground or stones, rocks, bits of, even sometimes on the paths. I mean, a path is a great place to see a lizard because the paths are usually gravel or stone. And, you know, they're a cold-blooded animal, so they need to heat up, which is why, you know, you don't see them during the winter. You want to be looking for them sort of March through to September at best because they hibernate. They're cold-blooded. So, you know, looking for areas where they might sit out and try and heat up in the sun. Pick a sunny day and go out and have a walk around and look on paths and stones and things like that, and you should see them.
And what size? Are we talking about the length of my forefinger, that sort of size?
Aye, yeah, about 10, 12 centimetres, something like that.
And is it true that they're supposed to lay eggs, but they don't because of the climate here in Northern Ireland?
Well, I think that's just common lizards throughout the British Isles, not just in Northern Ireland. There's two names. They're sometimes called the common lizard, or to be awfully technical, they're called the viviparous lizard. That's how often I use that word. It's so hard to pronounce, which means they give birth to live young. So they do that anyway. It is their way of combating with, you know, it's a good strategy. It means you don't have to, you know, worry about the eggs or, you know, look after the eggs or anything. Like, and as soon as they're born, that's it. The mother has nothing to do with them. They run away and fend for themselves.
And it sounds very sad, that. But whenever they are about to give birth, the mothers are about to give birth, that is part of a process that's probably evolved through, what, millions of years in a climate that doesn't suit laying eggs. I presume his brother in California would lay an egg, or his sister in California would lay an egg.
I guess so. I don't know too much about that. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I've only really been exposed to one lizard, one species of lizard here, you know, and that's what we've got, one species of lizard, one newt and one frog.
Is that all we have?
Yeah, if you go down south, you've got an awful lot. You've got a few other species, you know, you've got things like natterjack toad and things that have been introduced, but yeah, it's just because we're an island, you know, we're an island off an island, if you like, and, it, you know, just some things didn't reach us, like snakes.
You would have thought an Isle frog would have, you know, or a variety of frogs would have been here. If I was on Millionaire and someone said to me, in Northern Ireland, how many varieties of frog do we have? I would have probably thought four or five, but we only have one. Every frog's the same.
Yep. Every frog's the same. Common frog. That's the one that we get.
Do you know, Andy, we live and learn. We live and learn. But isn't wildlife wonderful? And whether it is Slieve na Cloy or a walk on Divis or a amble through the moors, or you don't have to go to high ground, just a countryside dander where you're hooking in a hedge with a stick and having a gawk. Wildlife is a wonderful, wonderful thing, isn't it?
Okay, yeah. Well, that's why I'm in the job that I do. I'm sitting here talking to you from the office, but I'm looking out the window thinking, right, how do I get outside?
How do you get an excuse to go out in the rain? Is that what you're saying?
Well, sometimes it's better being out in the rain than it is being stuck indoors. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, if you're not out and about, you don't see things. And that's what it's all about. You have to go out and about. It's fine to sit in front of the television and watch spring watch and all these things, but you're not getting anything near the real experience unless you get out there and see it for yourself.
And that common lizard, it is a protected species, I presume.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a protected species, yeah. Take a photograph by all means, but don't try and catch it. You know, don't go running after it. I mean, to be honest, you're getting nowhere near to catch it anyway. They're that fast.
Yeah, and the wildfires in the summertime and Easter time, they must destroy animals like that.
Yeah, yeah.
God, he's just fallen off his chair, has he?
Oh, I don't know what happened.
You're
there.
Back up on your seat. And yeah. I think you need to get in. Do you like, I imagine you've got a wee green van and you head up into the countryside. Is that the way it works, or are you on a quad? How does an Ulster Wildlife Reserve man actually, you know, spend a day away from the office?
Oh.
With a very dodgy telephone.
I don't know. That's because I'm near the airport. That's what's going. Typical day, a day like today. Well, you're getting up outside the bird nesting season soon in a couple of weeks. So we'll be going down, cutting things down like scrub. We'll do spraying. We'll do wildlife survey. You know, there's 101 different things to do.
You're the ideal man for my final question then, Andy, because you've just reminded me of a problem up in Bourne that a fella asked me about, and I told him I'd ask the first expert I came across. Bracken all across a hill farm, how do you counteract bracken? What's the best way to get rid of it?
Oh, nightmare. Nightmare. There's two trains of thought. Cattle. If you had enough cattle.
Would cattle eat?
Well, they wouldn't eat it, but they would certainly, if you had enough numbers of cattle, they would bull their way through it and break it down. And, you know, it's at least, you know, part of the problem with bracken is that it grows and covers that much ground, then it dies off and it creates a mat. As it dies, you have that old bracken and it sits. It can be several inches thick, but they'll push on through that and break it up. And the only other way is to use approved herbicides, which isn't really the option you want to go down to, because you can't do that for the next 100 years, can you? In 1,000 years.
So if you use a herbicide or some form of weed killer, it'll only last for a year, is that right?
Oh, yeah, you would have to treat it again and again. I mean, you're talking about a native species that occurs, you know, someday somebody will come up with a better way of getting rid of it. You have to, because you can't just keep pouring chemicals all over the place.
That is very true. That's the last thing you want, especially on the lovely hills of Bourne.
Andy,
it's a pleasure speaking to you, fella. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. That's Andy Corrie. He's with Ulster Wildlife. He sounds like a man who thoroughly enjoys his job, doesn't he? You know, and I'm lucky enough. I get up every morning. I come to work. Are you away, Andy? Hold on to a seat. Are you away?
Hello?
Hey, you're still there. Gosh, yeah. Andy, my apologies, because I'm talking here about you enjoying your job and me enjoying mine. And then I realise there's a man who's got a question about a lizard that I haven't asked and he would like it answered. What was that question, Mark?
Sorry, it's not about a lizard. It's a question about a mole. Why we don't have moles in Ireland as such?
Moles? Why we don't have moles? Is there an answer to that, Andy? I was across in England in Newcastle and I was walking through a country park and the place was coming down with moles. Why do we not have them in Ireland, Andy?
They just never reached here before the sea level rose. That's it. Same as snakes. There's plenty of things. They're not the only thing that didn't arrive here. And I suppose if a mole travels by tunneling, it takes an awful long time to take its way all the way through England and across the Irish Sea. The Irish Sea was always too deep that they could never get across. Simple as that.
And we are better off without them, or would it not have been a good idea to have introduced them?
Well, I remember the first time I remember getting off the ferry at Stranraer and getting on the bus, and I was going to visit a friend, and when I arrived at his house on the other side of Stirling, I said, I saw these moles, brilliant. First time I'd ever seen moles. And he said, you'd like them, but imagine you had a lawn. So, certainly don't anybody introduce moles. We'll do well without them. There's a reason they're not here.
All right, I'm happy enough not to have them. Mark, would you like to see moles?
No, I mean, I've seen them. I do a lot of travelling all over the world, and I've seen them in Norway and Denmark and Sweden, but I just couldn't understand why they were never actually here when they're just across the water in Scotland as well, you know.
Yeah, but you know, if you see a wee mole looking out of the hole, you think to yourself, you know, that's very cute, but the bottom line is you wouldn't want them looking out of a hole near you.
Oh, they do some destruction. I've seen farmers' fields with just mole hills all over the place, like, and It doesn't look a good sight, not
helping
safety-wise either.
Yeah, with you on that. Mark, thank you. And Andy, finally, thank you very much indeed. Thanks for your time, Andy.
Thank you. Okay, no problem. All the best.